Hello, everyone. Brian and Julian here. We're going into the update vault to play one of the many episodes from throughout the many years of this program. For today's episode, we go into the world of 2021, continuing the pandemic era of the program. 2021 was still a weird year. We were still finding out the mysteries about the coronavirus, and we were still out on the road in the middle of a pandemic, no less. But somehow, we find a way to just make the whole thing work. Oh, and one last thing about this episode. After the show aired, one of my former producers, who happened to be listening to the show at the time, called me up and actually invited me out to lunch. How about that?
Good afternoon. On the update this Friday, when the voters in this city chose Eric Adams to be the next mayor and Alvin Bragg as the next district attorney of Manhattan, they elevated two men into two of the city's most powerful elected offices. It's a moment that the city's African-American officials say has been a long time coming. We'll explain. The current mayor, Bill de Blasio, and the four unions representing city workers have reached an agreement on COVID vaccinations that affirm the city's right to impose mandates. It affects people in settings from school lunchrooms to trash trucks, but not police or firefighters. First, the Jets lost their quarterback, Mike White, to a right forearm injury. And then the defense fell apart. And the result was a loss and a seventh consecutive primetime defeat. And the murder trial of Amir Arbery is set to open for three white men in Brunswick, Georgia, who are charged with chasing and shooting Arbery. The death in February of 2020 was recorded on video, and it caused a national outcry. This is the update, Friday, November the 5th, 2021.
From the Tommy Lin Studios on the streets of New York City, this is the update with Brandon Julian, a three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York.
And a very pleasant Friday to all of you, TGIF. Brandon Julian here, the host of The Update. At our home away from home in Staten Island, today along Highland Boulevard, near the Midland Beach section, here people are starting to gather. They're starting to gather around for the New York City Marathon this weekend, held virtually last year, of course. But now, back at full strength, 35,000 runners will be running across all five boroughs of this city. The staging area, at least the parking lot for the drivers, is up near the Verrazano Bridge, not too far from where we are currently. Hopefully you're going to have a good weekend. Of course, wherever you may be, however you may be listening to us, we appreciate you so much for doing so. We have a lot to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Friday with some history that was made, of course. Could you see when the voters of the city this week chose Eric Adams to be the next mayor and Alvin Bragg to be the new district attorney of Manhattan? They elevated two black men into two of the city's most powerful elected offices. Adams and Bragg's ascent comes at a time when black elected officials are holding a historic number of city, state, and federal offices in this state. It's a movement that the city's African-American officials say has been a long time coming, paved earlier by black leaders who broke barriers in the face of immense bias and bore the burden of being the first people to hold such positions. I on to some of the other news of this Friday. And a new indictment says the two guards and a jail secretary smuggled drugs, booze, and cell phones to inmates at the troubled Manhattan Federal Jail where Jeffrey Epstein hanged himself for more than a year. Authorities yesterday announced the arrests of the employees and eight former Metropolitan Corrections Center inmates. The lockup, of course, has held notorious criminals over the years, including John Gotti and Bernie Madoff. It was closed recently for extensive renovations. The timing of these alleged crimes, spanning from October 2019 through last January, suggests that they were discovered after scrutiny fell on the facility, of course, following the suicide of financier Jeffrey Epstein in August of 2019, as he awaited a sex trafficking trial. Excuse me. Now you feel like there's something in your throat, you're trying to get it out, but you can't. That's how I'm feeling right now. Meanwhile, prosecutors in the city, they're conducting a criminal investigation into former President Trump's business dealings, has now convened a new grand jury to hear the evidence, as the previous panel's term was set to run out. That's according to a person familiar with the matter who was not authorized to speak publicly and did so on the condition of anonymity. The development comes as the Manhattan DA's office is currently weighing whether to seek more indictments in a case that has already resulted in tax fraud charges against Trump's company, the Trump Organization, and its longtime CFO, Alan Weisselberg. The news was first reported by the Washington Post. The man in DA's office, they declined to comment, and a message seeking comment was left with a Trump Organization lawyer. In COVID news, this city and four unions that are representing city workers have now reached an agreement on COVID vaccinations that affirm the city's right to impose mandates. Mayor de Blasio said yesterday that the deal also allows members of the four unions who requested medical or religious exemptions by November 2nd to stay on the payroll while their requests are being adjudicated. The deal affects about 75,000 people who work in settings from school lunchrooms to trash trucks, but not the NYPD or firefighters. The firefighters' unions say that they were offered the same pact and have made the city a counterproposal, including a permanent option for weekly COVID testing instead of inoculation. We mentioned Jeffrey Epstein earlier, and that's now we're going to talk about the week's long process, of selecting a jury for the federal sex trafficking trial of his ex-girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, has now begun. The judge here in New York said yesterday in a video played for over 130 prospective jurors, the British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell has pleaded not guilty to charges, alleging that she recruited teenagers who were not yet adults for Epstein to sexually abuse. The judge warned prospective jurors not to discuss the case with anyone or even to research it. The possible jurors then filled out questionnaires and were sent home, the first of about 750 people to do so over 3 days. Oral questioning of the jurors will begin around the middle of this month. And finally, we're going to go up north to Rochester, where the former police chief there who was fired over his department's handling of last year's suffocation death of Daniel Prude has now announced that he's running for Congress. Laron Singletary is seeking to unseat two-term Democrat Joe Morrell, in the 25th Congressional District. Singletary, of course, you may remember, was fired in September of last year by Mayor Lovely Warren over the death of Prude. Prude was suffering from a mental health crisis on March 23rd when Rochester officers placed a, quote, spit hood over his head and restrained him. He died a week later after being taken off of life support. And time for us to step aside for a moment. We're going to turn on the update this Friday. We have a few important messages to tell you about from the MTA. We're going to talk some sports and how the Jets fell apart again during prime time. It's their seventh consecutive prime time loss. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, too. And then we're going to address the latest national news, including how Pfizer says that its experimental pill for COVID cut rates of hospitalization and death by nearly 90% among patients with mid to moderate infections. We're going to talk about all of that and a lot more, too, of course, when the update with Brandi Julian returns in just a moment. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandi Julian. We'll be right back.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Brandi Julian. Of all the newscasters in New York, I just happen to be one of them. This is the update with Brandi Julian.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Until January of 2022, there was no service on the D line between Bay 50th Street and Coney Island Stillwell Avenue because of flooding protection in the Coney Island Yard. D trains are running between 205th Street and Bay 50th Street, with select trains running to Bay Parkway. For service to Coney Island, use an F, N, or Q train, or free shuttle bus service at Bay 50th Street. When you ride the subway or bus, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth for your entire trip. It's the law, and it's also a sign of respect to your fellow passengers. Thank you for keeping New York healthy. You can also tap and go with Omni to board every subway and bus. No more wondering if you have any money left on your Metro card. Just tap your contactless bank card or your smart device on the Omni reader and wait for the green go screen. If you're transferring to or from the subway or between buses, free transfers are available. Just remember to use the same card or device at all points of your journey. For more information, visit omni.info. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.75. Transfers must be requested upon payment of cash fare. On select bus service, pay at the kiosks outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $6.75. Coins are no longer accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So those New York Jets and Mike White, they were starting up pretty decently on Thursday Night Football against the Colts. And then the wheels just started
coming off slowly, one by one. First, they lost White to a right forearm injury. And then the defense broke down. It was just a disastrous combination for the Jets. The result was a 45-30 loss and a seventh consecutive loss in prime time. Now Coach Robert Saleh must figure out who exactly will be healthy enough to play quarterback next week and how to fix a run defense that gave him 260 yards on the ground. White explained that if he left after two of his fingers went numb and he couldn't actually grip the ball. But in that case, it's better to be safe than sorry. Meanwhile, over in Montreal, Brock Nelson scored a career-high 4 goals, and the Islanders beat the Canadiens 6-2. Playing the A for 13 straight road games open the season while their new arena, UBS Arena, is finishing up, the Islanders scored more than 4 goals for the first time this year. Montreal, though, has allowed 5 goals or more for the 6th time this year. Oliver Wahlstrom and Jean-Gabriel Bagot also scored to help the Islanders improve to 4-2-2. Ilya Sorokin stopped 36 shots. Canadiens starter Jake Allen allowed 5 goals and 25 shots and was pulled after the second. Samuel Montembeloute, I think I got that right. He stopped all 10 shots that he faced. Nick Suzuki and Tyler Toffoli also scored for Montreal. Turns to today's action as a full road docket. Nets are in Detroit taking on the Pistons tonight at 7. Knicks are over in Milwaukee to take on the defending champion Bucks at 7:30. Hockey is the late games out west. Rangers are in Edmonton taking on the Oilers at 9:30. Devils are in LA taking on the the Kings at 10:30. When we return on the update this Friday, we're going to talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we're going to address the latest national news, including how the federal government has now canceled a multi-million dollar deal with Emergent BioSolutions. It's a Maryland-based vaccine manufacturer with facilities in Baltimore that were found to have produced millions of contaminated COVID doses this spring. We're going to talk about that and more when the update Brandon and Julian returns after these messages. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandon and Julian. We'll be right back.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at 2 major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Beijing common sense. Beijing common sense. Anybody know if there's any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian.
Welcome back, everyone, to the aforementioned update of Brandon Julian on this Friday, Getaway Friday here in the big town. Thanks so much for sticking along with us. It's a big weekend here in the city. Sunday, the NYC Marathon returns after being virtual last year. 35,000 runners from all over the world are coming here to New York to run across all five boroughs and possibly achieve immortality. And also, Sunday is the end of daylight savings time. I know Teen Titans joked about once how it's daylight saving time, but yes, Sunday we fall back 1 hour. I forget whether that means if we gain an hour of sleep or lose an hour of sleep. If anybody has the answer to this groundbreaking question, please let me know, because I'd like to know before I get cranky for Monday's show. Although that would be difficult, because I have the Christmas spirit in me. Yes, I was listening to Christmas music all morning and before today's show. So I probably feel better than I have been in quite a while. Why don't we talk about what happened on this day in history for this November the 5th? Highlight of his day came in 2017, when a gunman armed with an assault rifle opened fire in a small South Texas church, killing more than 24 people. The shooter, Devin Patrick Kelly, was later found dead in a vehicle after he was shot and chased by two men who heard the gunfire. An autopsy revealed that he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. In 1605, the gunpowder plot failed as Guy Fawkes was seized before he could blow up the English Parliament. In 1872, suffragist Susan B. Anthony defied the law by attempting to cast the vote for President Ulysses S. Grant. Anthony was convicted by a judge and fined $100, but she never paid the penalty. In 1912, a Democrat Woodrow Wilson was elected president, defeating Progressive Party candidate Teddy Roosevelt, incumbent Republican William Howard Taft, and socialist Eugene V. Debs. In 1935, Parker Brothers began marketing the board game Monopoly. In 1968, Republican Richard M. Nixon won the presidency, defeating Democratic Vice President Hubert H. Humphrey and American independent candidate George C. Wallace. In 1989, deaf claimed pianist Vladimir Horowitz in New York at the age of 86, and singer and songwriter Barry Sadler in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at the age of 49. In 1992, Malise Green, a black motorist, died after he was struck in the head 14 times with a flashlight by a Detroit police officer, Larry Nevers, outside a suspected crack house. Nevers and his partner, Walter Busden, were later found guilty of second-degree murder, but the convictions were overturned. They were convicted of involuntary manslaughter. In 1994, former President Ronald Reagan disclosed he had Alzheimer's disease. In 2003, President George W. Bush signed a bill outlawing the procedure known by his critics as partial birth abortion. Less than an hour later, though, a federal judge in Nebraska issued a temporary restraining order against the ban. In 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. That's a tongue twister. In 2006, Saddam Hussein was convicted and sentenced by the Iraqi High Tribunal to hang for crimes against humanity. In 2007, Hollywood writers began a 3-month strike, forcing late-night talk shows to immediately start airing reruns. And in 2009, a shooting rampage at the Fort Hood Army Post in Texas left 13 people dead. Major Nidal Hassan, an Army psychiatrist, was later convicted of murder and sentenced to death. No execution date has been set as of yet. National news, of course, is next when the update with Brandon Julian continues. From the streets of New York to wherever you are, the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back.
Live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes! Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to the aforementioned Update of Brandon Julian on this Friday, everyone, this getaway Friday. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. Let us talk the latest national news now. We're going to begin in Washington, where Pfizer says its experimental pill for COVID cut rates of hospitalization and death by nearly 90% among patients with mild to moderate symptoms. Mild to moderate infections. The company announced today that it will seek the FDA and international regulators to authorize its pill, which is taken twice a day for 5 days. A similar pill by competitor Merck is currently under FDA review and was cleared yesterday by UK regulators. Drug makers around the world have been racing to develop an easy-to-use pill to blunt the effects of COVID. All therapies now authorized in the U.S. require an IV or an injection. Meanwhile, the federal government has now canceled a multi-million dollar deal with Emergent BioSolutions. It's a Maryland-based vaccine manufacturer with facilities in Baltimore that were found to have produced millions of contaminated COVID doses this spring. The Washington Post reported that the company disclosed the development yesterday in a conference call discussing its latest financial results. The problems with vaccines earlier this year caused a months-long delay in production. Emergent BioSolutions played a role in the Trump administration's effort to speed up vaccine development and also distribution. But after winning a contract from the previous administration, Emergent quickly ran into production problems. Meanwhile, we go down now to Brunswick in Georgia, with the murder trial of those who shot Ahmaud Arbery is set to open for the three white men who were charged with chasing and shooting, leading to killing him. The death in February of last year was recorded on video and caused a national outcry. Jurors are to be sworn in today for the trial of father and son Greg and Travis McMichael and their neighbor, William Roddy Bryan. The McMichaels armed themselves and pursued Arbery after spotting him running in their neighborhood. Brian joined the chase and recorded a cell phone video of Travis McMichael shooting Arbery at close range. The lawyers say that the shooting was in self-defense. To Kenosha, Wisconsin, we go now in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, where witnesses at his murder trial say that the first man that was shot on the streets of Kenosha was, quote, hyper-aggressive, threatened to kill Rittenhouse and another man who were patrolling with guns, and later lunged for Rittenhouse's gun in an attempt to take it away. Ryan Balch is a former Army infantryman who carried an AR-style semi-automatic rifle and walked around with Rittenhouse. He testified that Joseph Rosenbaum was upset at one point, threatened to kill him or Rittenhouse if he caught either of them alone. Another witness had testified earlier that Rosenbaum lunged for Rittenhouse's gun just before he was shot. And finally, we're going to go back to Washington,
were Colin Powell, of course, the widely praised soldier and diplomat who died of complications from COVID last month, is now being remembered at a funeral service today at the Washington National Cathedral. Powell was a model for minorities in public and private life. A Vietnam combat veteran, he rose to become the first black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and also the first black Secretary of State. Powell, of course, had been vaccinated against COVID, but his family said that his immune system had been compromised by multiple myeloma, a blood cancer for which he had been undergoing treatment. I want you guys to ponder on that as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Friday, November the 5th, 2021. That is the update on this Friday and for this week. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Please be well. Our year one archives, looking back into January of 2018, take you through this weekend. Good luck to all of those running the New York City Marathon Sunday. Also, Saturday night, before you go to bed, make sure you set your clocks backwards 1 hour. And make sure you also check and change the batteries in your smoke alarms and your carbon monoxide detectors. Have a good weekend, everyone, and I'll see you right back here on Monday, where the end of daylight saving time, or savings time, whichever you want to pronounce it, the end of daylight savings time will truly start to make it feel like the holidays.